Well, join me in the Lord's house. Amen. And I appreciate the good help the Lord has given me in the meeting already. I appreciate the good preaching. Appreciate the good singing. And the entertaining singing the Lord has allowed us to enjoy. And it's just been wonderful. And amen. Wouldn't have it any other way. Somebody say amen right there. Only Brother Barry can do something like that and it still be a blessing. Yeah. And if you know Miss Kelly, she's back here blaming, you know, Craig and Donna for messing, trying to make Barry look bad. She blamed it on them and all that. But I'm very grateful to be here. And the Lord has definitely put us in a move as of lately to just change the direction of our life. And pastored Lighthouse Baptist Church in Page in South Carolina for 12 years. And the 12 best years of my life, I always prayed, God, if you're going to move us, I'd like to go out loving them and them loving us. I grew up in a pastor's home. And so I've seen a little bit of the other. And but just in God's plan, God moved us to the First Baptist Church in Conestoga. And as the associate pastor under Dr. Finney. And so we sure covet your prayers. I found out very quickly I cannot keep up with him. And so you please pray for us. I'm honored. I'm humbled by that and about what the Lord has for us. And just I love this church. I love the Lord has moved us in the area here to be a little bit closer, and I'm grateful for that. And everybody doesn't understand when you tell them what God's done, God's will, how God puts things together, but it sure has meant the world to be able to call up my dear preacher friends and tell you what the Lord was doing, and you rejoice with us and praying for us, and I'm very grateful for that. Don't deserve to be here, don't deserve to be preaching today, and I know that, but I am very grateful that the Lord let us spend a little bit of time together today, and I'm looking forward to what the Lord has. Daniel chapter number 3, and I was asking the Lord, Lord, if you would, give me about a quarter of a Sunday school lesson like you did Brother Buster on yesterday, and if you'll do that, that'll be sufficient. And if I say I got a quarter of a Sunday school lesson, then I mean that. That means we're gonna go eat in about 10 minutes. And or if I say like Brother Bear, I say I got a thought. I get thoughts all the time, but they're not worth preaching. Somebody say amen right there. And but I love being able to come to this meeting and just feel right at home and pull your feet under the King's table, and out here and out in the fellowship hall. I know it's an expense, but it'll take heaven to reveal the help that has been given on these pews. It's not about the dollar. It's not about, yeah, they know that, but it's about the help, and they're taking some days to invest into us, and I'm very grateful for that. Then the men of God that preach, they invest in us in the Word of God, and I'm grateful for that. Got a burden this morning, and just simple, you're gonna be able to repeat the verses, you're gonna be able to quote them, and want to walk through Daniel chapter 3, if you will. Let's stand together, Daniel chapter number 3, and I want to walk through some familiar ground. And really just give you a quick thought. I believe we're going to eat about 12:30, so we'll have us out there and ready to eat and be ready to go. And Brother Jarvis said, don't worry about it, but I don't like standing in between Baptists and food. That's a very dangerous thing. And anyway, let's begin reading in verse number 15. Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, get a hold of that. These men, with what they're facing and where they are, they said, we know God can do it. But if not, if that's not his will, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. And then this is so important, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I want to look over it, I believe, in verse number 25 of the same chapter. The Bible said, and he answered and said, lo, this is Nebuchadnezzar, lo, I see four men. I don't hear, but I see four men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Back in verse number 18, they said, but if not. And I want to talk a little bit this evening But if not, then what? But if not, then what? Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And you pray with us this afternoon. Lord, I'm so grateful today to again to be in your house. And God, this morning, this midday that we've gathered in, you've helped us. You've touched my heart. We've been challenged. No doubt, God, what has already been preached today. God, we're dealing with that. We're in the middle of that. Many of us are. And but Lord, even with that, we're going to need that down the road. Help us to finish, but not just finish, but finish with integrity. God, I realize that I need you today more than I ever have. I may never preach again. I may be in glory. But Lord, I do beg for fresh oil and fresh unction. God, as we go throughout the meeting, Lord, I beg you to keep, Lord, just stay close and to help us. And Lord, that when we leave, that we'll go back and serve and labor and give it all we got till you call us home. Thank you again for being good. And may your son get all the glory, for he is worthy of it all. It is in Jesus' name do we pray. Amen and amen. It's very interesting as walking through the Word of God, as Brother Buster dealt with and preached yesterday, and we heard last night and even some today, about how that walking through our Scriptures, that there are times that God is going to choose to testify about Himself through the people of God. Brother Willis, I can't necessarily find why God picked some over the others, or why God would choose Job to testify about him as he did, or why God would choose David, or why God would choose Daniel as we find in this book. But somehow or another, reasoning why God chooses those men, and we watch their life, and God will use those men and testify about Himself. We realize this, that in this path of life or serving God, that there are times in which God desires to testify about Himself through our life. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are some things that we deal with and we face. If I had my choice, I probably would not have brought those things into my life. Somebody say amen right there. However, God knows better than I do. And I hope I never get over that. God knows better than I do. God knows what I need. God knows what He's doing, even if I don't always know what I'm doing. Amen. And so God does that. Matter of fact, you read the book of Hebrews, and it begins to walk down through that list of faith. Those that saw great things and mighty things. And God testified about Himself through those men. But Brother Rackley, there's a little section, about four verses there, of those men who did not get their deliverance on this side. There were those that there were not no royalty born in their bloodline. There was not any day in which God came through in power, but rather it is a testimony, and they received that faith is all well at the end of their life. Now, I don't know if you're going to have many battles and valleys in your life. I don't know what kind of trials that you face, but I do know this, that there is a God in heaven who knows exactly what He's doing, and there is a God that can give grace in the midnight hour. There is a God that's keeping record of my faith, and God knows what God's doing. And so you find that when you come to our text, this is very simple, that God is going to enlist three men here in a very in a time of immorality and in a time of changing. God enlists these men that are going to testify about the Lord. I notice first of all that in verses 1 and 2 very hurriedly that these men are unimpressed by the king's commandment. In verse 1 and verse 2, you can find that Nebuchadnezzar spent much time on the outward appearance of this idol or this image. The Bible gives us the dimensions and what it's made out of. In other words, to see that idol was to see something that would catch your eye. Brother Buster, before the devil allures you, he must first attract you. Young people today, and we got a good bit of young people in the meeting, and thank the Lord for that. But before the devil attracts you and gets you involved, he's got to allure you through sight and got to make things look very good. And the fact of the matter is, he can paint it up all he wants to, but it'll never compare to what I have in Jesus. Amen. And the devil paints this lie that there is this pleasure, though it is for a season. He can make alcohol look good. He can make drugs look good. He can make leaving church look good. But I'm telling you,
He never shows the aftermath of a busted life. He never shows the aftermath of a busted home. I want to say thank God at 14 years old, I felt something better than Bud Dummer. I felt something better than middle low life. I felt something better than what the world had when I got gloriously born again by the grace of God. And if you got Him, you don't need what the world's offering today. There is an attraction that's being given, but I want to remind you, there's nothing out there that can compare to what I have in Jesus. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, brother. Brother Jarvis, I'm not looking for something new. I'm not looking for something better, thinking I found it when I got born again. But God's amazing grace, you can take the world and take all it has, take its money and pleasure, take its high time. But I'm telling you, thank God, it'll never compare to being saved and serving God and being in the will of God and living for Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Ben, it'll never compare. There is an attraction. The attraction is, I want to allure you and I want you to worship the image. Notice secondly, they were not impressed by this idol. But then I notice secondly that these men, they were unmoved by the commandment that's given. The Bible said in our text, He told him, He said, when that music begins to play, you hear the sound. Isn't it interesting that music has the power to move you in different directions? Now, we're not going to be dancing this morning. I hope Brother Willis gets plugged in tonight. Maybe he'll give us a little something. Say amen right there. And They weren't playing Amazing Grace, how sweet. But this music is being played, and you know this, that the devil works very good to push his music so that it might influence those to bow down to a false god and a false image. He's playing the music and he told them to bow down. And what impressed me of these men, it did not matter that it was the king who said it. They were not bowing down the world's king. They were going to be bowing down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the book of Acts, chapter number 5, the disciples had been told, don't preach in Jesus' name. Don't mention Jesus' name. Don't baptize in His name. Don't preach the Word of God. Don't tote the mail anymore, if you will. But these men knew that they would rather obey God than to obey men. And oh, God, in this day and hour where there's compromise and change, oh, God, give us a generation of young people and a generation of men and a generation of church folk and a purpose in their mind. We will not bow down to man, but we'll stand for God in the day that God has given us to stand. I believe that this man had purpose, that I'm not going to bow down. I say thank God everybody ain't dipped their colors. Hey, man. Everybody ain't changed their Bible. Everybody ain't changed their songbook. Everybody ain't quit walking right. Everybody, oh no, they resisted what they were being told to do. It would have been easier to bow. Matter of fact, it would have been more comfortable for them to bow than it was for them to stand. Praise God. It would have been easier. It would have been less turbulence. It would have been less problems if they would have just bowed and did what everybody else is doing. I say, thank God. I get to rub shoulders at the meeting with some men who have been thundering God's word and they ain't compromised God's book and they ain't bowed down the world's idols. But thank God they're still standing where they stood when they started and they're not backing up by God's grace. Amen. Thank God, hallelujah. Amen. Refusing to bow. Do you realize that if they were looking to get in the in crowd, this was their opportunity? Isn't it amazing that just doing right, the amount of enemies that get created just because you're doing right? And these men are doing right. They're holding a standard and they're not bowing. There's jealousy among these Chaldeans and they're looking for an opportunity. If these men wanted to advance, this was their opportunity. If they wanted to get in the in crowd, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if you're 5, 15, or 50, there'll always be those opportunities to get in just a little bit more. I've been thinking, I want to stick, as Brother Willis said, I want to dance with the one I came with. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, thank God. The closer I get to home, I don't want to bend and back down to what God did for me. God's been too good. His word is still right. His way is still right. It's still right to serve God. It's still right to be faithful. And God help us to finish well. Amen. If they wanted to get in the in crowd, this was their chance to do that. Oh yeah, they could have got the nicer suits, and they could have got the bigger meetings, and they could have got a little bit more money, but they said to do that, I'm going to bow down to a false God. I'm not bowing to Him. I'm not bowing to Him, but I'm standing for God. Real simple. Notice, I got to hurry. Look in verse 15. These men in our text are unafraid of what the king may do. Now think about it in verse 15. This battle, this confrontation begins to take shape. Brother Moore, the Bible said in verse 15, now, if ye be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer. And I believe Brother Raines can probably play all them. Somebody say amen right there. When you hear that, fall down and worship the image which I have made you well. How about if you worship not, you shall be cast away out of the midst of the burning fire. Notice the next phrase. And who is that God? Nebuchadnezzar is not calling out Shadrach, Meshach. They're sitting in between Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrew boys. This is a battle between good and right. This is a battle between truth and error. This is a battle between God and the forces of the devil. And here it is. These men did not ask for it. But God is going to use some men. Hand and amazing. Hallelujah. The people that God uses. We were just a bunch of nobody's headed nowhere. We don't have much to offer a king. But thank God one day God came by where we were. And now God lets us testify. There is a God that changes lives. There's a God that puts families together. There's a God that uses men, and God help us to testify about Him. Amen. Who is that God? Who is He? They called out, who is that God? Can I just say quickly, He's the God that cannot be measured. Amen. He's the God that cannot be made. He's the God that cannot be molded. He's the God that cannot be melted. And He's the God that cannot be mastered. I don't know if they did or not. I'm going to tell you why they weren't impressed. They walk over and they see an idol. They remember that there was a time that somebody molded that idol. Yep. Brother Raines, there was a time that somebody melted that idol together. There was a time that somebody stood that idol up. And them boys knew this. I didn't stand my God up. It was my hallelujah. It's God that stands me up. I didn't make my God. He made me. I didn't find Him. He found me. I didn't put Him together. He put me together. And they said, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way I'll bow to that God. Notice this. Who is He? When you walk through our text, notice what's said. Verse 16, oh Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful. In other words, as to say, we don't have to answer you, but we do have something to say. Thank God for men that have something to say. And I know we got preachers and pastors here, but can I say, church member, thank God when everything's turned upside down, when there's questions that are around, when the battles come, I say thank God for men that get a word from God and feed us and love us. Thank God that God's men are still toting the bell. Amen. Now watch this. Here's what he said. We're not careful. It's an intimidation factor. The devil loved for us to leave this meeting intimidated. You know what does I do? Something on the inside. When Brother Chris got through preaching, something on the inside was saying, mount my horse up, boys. Amen. Let's tote the mail. Let's tote the mail. Where God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And can I remind you this tonight, church? And can I remind us, dear men of God, of the same power and that God Jesus had the grave and the same power and that gave you life as a lost sinner has the same power working in us. It ain't some different power. It's still God. And if God don't give the power, in a mess. But thank God He's got more than we can handle. Gotta hurry. Notice this. Bible tells us in our text, but if not, be it known unto you. The old king, we will not. Back in verse 17 is the ultimatum. He said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. In other words, here's what they knew. King, we know God can deliver us today. A lot can happen in a day, can't it? Then he moves on, and here's what they said. And he will deliver us out of thine hand. Listen, I know Nebuchadnezzar, you think you're in control right now, but I want to remind you something. I'm not trying to be prideful, Mr. King. But I want to remind you, you think you're in control, but you're not.
Right.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. There are going to be days in my life and yours where we feel like, man, things are out of control. But when it's out of your control, it is still, always has been, and always will be under His control. Amen. Jesus is on Calvary. He's paying for my sin. He's paying for your sin. Death's waiting to take Him. And the devil's won victory. In the middle of all the crucifixion, the one that was in control put everything on hold. He looked over toward a sinner and said, today thou shalt build me in paradise. You say, why? Because He was still in full control.
Amen.
Notice this. Verse 18. But if not, in other words, they had gotten to a place where they said, now Lord, if He don't deliver us, whatever He does, He's God. But if not, there's one thing I know. If He delivers us, we're not serving You, we're serving God. But if God doesn't deliver us, you mark her down, we ain't going to serve You. We'll still give God the glory. Here's what they said. God, if I get my way, then wonderful. If it works good for me, then wonderful. But God, if it don't work in my favor, You're still God. You're still God. I still love You. You're still right. I'm not going nowhere. But if not, I'll still serve You. I shared this with the church back in March here. Brother Buster, I remember five and a half years old, my little girl Lydia was diagnosed with something we didn't really understand. And they gave her a diagnosis. And we're trying this, we're praying, we're getting prayer line. We didn't understand all that. End of that month, we had a revival meeting. Brother Andy Wells preached a message that night. And we're still trying to get some things figured out, trying to get it all together. I remember getting the altar. And I remember my wife crawling up beside of me. And I remember her praying this. Lord, I love Lydia. I know You can touch her. But if You want to take her, I love You. And with everything in me, I'm going to get up from here. And I'm going to serve You. And I'm going to live for You. Brother Racket, I wish I could say I was where Weezy was that night. But I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't there yet. Here's what my wife was saying, Brother Brown, Lord, You're right. You know where I'm at. There's a furnace out there. There's hardship coming. But one thing I know is that You do all things well. I know You make no mistakes. And God, if it takes my little girl, I'll get up from this altar. I'll still love You. I'll still work youth camp. I'll still give it all I got for God. I'll still raise two babies for You. Regardless of what you do, I want you to know, by Your grace, I'll still serve You. Now notice where it got them, and I'll be done. Notice this. They were promoted by the real king. Simple, I know it's simple. Look at it. It wasn't the luxury or ease, but it was a fire, it was a furnace that chose to be the setting was God was going to reveal Himself. Mark it down. The fires are being turned up. I know it. I'm no prophet nor son of a prophet. There's heaviness. There's a lot of burdens. And a lot of battles. It'd be good to know you could leave and go back home, but seem like percentages sometimes when you come home from a meeting like this, the enemy's got something waiting, doesn't Brother Raines? And the setting is in the furnace. Now notice some things. I notice first of all in verse 20, and He commanded the most mighty men. In verse 22, these are the same men, the Bible says, slew those men. Those who? Mighty men. You know what the fire did? The fire separated the men from the boys. They say a general or a captain is just leading his men out, finds out very quick at the first sound of fire who are the men he can and can't depend on. Aren't you glad, men of God? And there may be some that have walked away. Aren't you glad there's some that's just, hey, man. Hey, man. Brother Buster, there's probably been a good bit that's put a knife in your back going out, but there have been some that's been there to pull it out and try to put a little salve on it. Thank God for meetings like this, because you get to come together and you begin to see real quick there's been some fire and there's been some furnaces, but thank God that through all of that there's been some men for God and men of God, the cream of the crop, and not that we're anything. It's just somewhere along the lines God helped us to realize it ain't about me, it's about Him. And if God will put breath in my lungs, one more time I'll preach, one more time I'll go, but if not, then what? Here's what He said. It separated. Notice this. Verse 21, 23. Bible said when they're thrown in, verse 21, bound. In verse 23, fell down, bound. But in verse 25, He looked in and saw them loose. Sometimes the greatest liberty comes in the middle of the fire furnace. Man of God, you're out of that pulpit and your Bible in one hand and your heart in the other. And for just a minute, it didn't feel like, I wonder if I could just call somebody tonight. Just kind of see it. But somehow, not unto us, oh Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name, give glory for Thy mercy. Heart's over here. Get your Bible over here, and somehow, next thing you knew, 30 minutes into service, and somehow or another, you weren't up here like this. It was more of a, let me hang on. But somehow, in the middle of the furnace, the God of heaven reached down and touched that little thought and give you liberty in the middle of your furnace. Dear preacher's wife, you know your husband's going through it, you going through it. Seem like you ain't got nobody to talk to, nobody around. Seem like everybody's busy. You get find somewhere, Miss Kelly. Get down to that little prayer place where God is. Bend down. And if, oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And it felt like God, just for a little bit, wouldn't look at His other youngins, though He was. But God just turned all the attention to you. And God gave you the greatest liberty to pray in the middle of it all. My mother, 17 years ago, we buried my brother under me. He was 30 years old at the time. And Miss June, at that funeral service, after losing and burying a child unexpectedly, my mother got up on the front row and put her hands toward heaven and began to worship God and to thank God for saying, preacher, what happened? God gave her greatest liberty and loosed her in the middle of her fiery furnace. Notice this, verse 27. And the princes and governors and captains and kings' councils being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power
Nor was the hair of their head singed. Neither was their coat changed. And the smell of fire passed on them. They come through it. But you never even realize they come through it.
Right.
I'm challenged sometimes. I heard Brother Brown say it yesterday. Brother Brown, how you doing? Wonderful, my dear brother. Sometimes ask me how I'm doing. You better get a pencil and pad out. Sometimes it's all over us, isn't it? But you go through it and somehow you come through. And Brother Doug, all you've seen in your life and the fire is intestine. But yet to come through and stand up here and sing with your family without bitterness being your song, that's coming through the fire unscathed. Last thought and I'm done. Here's what's interesting. Here's my thought and I'm through preaching. When I walk through the text, and don't get me wrong, it's good preaching and I'm for it. I am for it. But I walk through this text and Brother Ackley, I've gone through here and preached. Boy, they having a camp meeting and them and Jesus and they shaking hands with the bushes and I mean, it's breaking out. And but just reading from our text, it never even says that these three Hebrew boys even acknowledged the Son of Man that was in there with them. I'm just taking the text. What I do see in the fire is this. First of all, Brother Buster, those men saw each other in the fire. What's beautiful about a meeting like this, you look over, and nobody, you know, everybody wants to ask how you doing, how's things been. But the first thing that comes in our mind is, praise God, they're still in it. Hey, man. Look, I ain't seen Brother Christmas January, but I walked in, there he was. You know what that meant? He's still in it.
Amen.
Some of you, this might be Brother Caldwell. Praise God, preacher. Walk in the meeting, there's Brother and Sister Caldwell. Yep, still in it.
Amen.
Ain't got to say a thing. Sometimes, oh, you know what else I do? My heart broke yesterday when I heard Brother Buster say, there's times, if I could get away, I could. Didn't that hurt? When Brother Bear said, I just wanted to get away, I wanted to quit. It hurt. But then at the same time, something floods my soul and says, thank God. Though you wanted to get out, I say, thank God you hadn't got out. But somehow, the same God that brought you through yesterday is bringing you one more day. And if God can bring you yesterday, and if God can bring you through the day, then no doubt God can get you through today and tomorrow. You know as I do, something in your heart last night when Brother Willis walked in. Whew, the Reb is in the house. If I was my pastor, I'd kick my legs up about halfway over my head right now. Brother Buster, they saw each other in the fire. Number two, one thing I know, I don't know if they saw the Lord, but you know this, I know the Lord saw them. Sometimes, Don't throw me out. Sometimes, Brother Bear, I can't see him. And sometimes I can't feel him. Now, I know. What do you do then? You go get in your Bible and you stay in your Bible. But I'm just telling you, sometimes, Lord, I can't see you. I don't really know what you're doing. But there is a peace that He's already made a promise before I ever got into this world that His eye, matter. Oh, yes. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Oh, yes. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
You go to bed and feel like, man, I feel like, could I say a word right here? Can I say a word? Devil's a liar. Could I say this? We don't let the devil determine if we're a success or not, do we? Do we let the devil determine if we're a success? I don't want the devil to think. If I don't let him determine if I'm a success, then neither should I ever let him determine if I'm a failure or not.
That's good. That's very good.
Brother Buster, sometimes I can't see him and I can't tell what God's doing. But I'm telling you, there's never been a day, there's never been an hour, there's never been a minute he didn't know what was in ahead. He didn't know what was behind me. He didn't know what was with me. He didn't know what's before me. And he is with me. Hallelujah. I might not know where he is, but thank God he knows where I'm at.
Amen.
Hey, man. Number three, and I'm done. Not only did they see each other, not only did God see them, but thirdly, the king saw the Lord in the fire. Sometimes the battle is not about you. Sometimes it's about somebody else seeing Jesus. Brother Ralph, thank you for challenging us about character. We need that, don't we? I thought about this. In other words, the king looked in. He didn't say, man, look how big that fire is. The king doesn't look at what he's amazed by is that he saw the Lord. Brother Jarvis, can I say it this way? Can I say it this way? I feel like the Lord had me. I feel the Lord touched my heart. Do it to say it this way. I'm sure you've had trials. I'm sure you've had battles. But brother, I've never seen the fire in you. But I have seen Jesus in you. Thank you. Brother Buster, I know you've faced some trials. But I've never seen the furnace. I've never smelt the smoke.
Amen.
But I sure have seen Jesus in you. Brother Barry, I know you've had trials. But I've never smelled the smoke on you. I've never seen the flames engulfing you.
Praise the Lord.
But I've seen Jesus in you.
Amen.
Miss Kelly, I know you've had trials and fires and furnaces. I've known you for a few years now. I've known you much as some others. But can I honestly say I've never seen anything but Jesus. Brother Brown, this is Brother Jeff Brown, my friend. I love him. My son calls him the MVP, the most valuable preacher.
Amen.
Brother Brown, I know you've had battles. But my boy, I was coming home last night, and my son said, Daddy, you never think Brother Brown been through a thing. Never seen nothing but Jesus. Sunday before I resigned, Brother Larry Raines was with us. Brother Raines didn't talk about, oh, I had this battle and this trial. You know what he said? He magnified. All I saw was Jesus. Preacher, you've been through a fire or two, haven't you? Yeah. All I've seen is Jesus. Thank you. Brother Kevin, I know you've been through trials, but I ain't never seen anything but Jesus. No need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow. Safely this far Jesus has brought me. No need to doubt Him now. My Father, I sure do love you. Thank you. Been so kind to us. And Lord, not unto us. You're the only reason. You're the best thing that ever happened to us. Common ground is the reminder. Just sinner saved by grace. And you brought us safe this far. Help me when I'm pressed, when I'm in the fire. Help me. Help me to not get in the way of somebody seeing Jesus. In your name I do pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed. Brother Jarvis is coming. The altars are open.
Smile
on the Lord today. Thank you. Get you some help today.